Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio. The Odyssey.com app.
On,
my
man.
Apologies. Coming up momentarily, we'll be joined by Brett Saberhagen, arguably the greatest pitcher in Royals history. Will join us coming up in just a bit. We'll also get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Before we do that, we just had Joe Randall on the show. If you missed it, check out the podcast page or the Odyssey.com app. Who do you think is the Chiefs equivalent of Joe Randa? Because during the Joe Randa interview, two separate people texted me and was like, hey, I'm happy that you guys have Joe Randa on the show. I feel like everyone's answer is going to be Daniel Sorensen, but I feel like Daniel Sorensen is everybody's answer to every Chiefs question if the answer isn't Patrick Mahomes.
He has to be a current Chief that's this version of Joe Randa?
I'm saying is, so let's say that tomorrow we have, or not tomorrow, let's say a random time over the summer, we have a former Chiefs player on the show.
I would have said the sausage, Anthony Sherman, but he retired, so now I don't know who the Joker of the Chiefs is.
I don't know if there is a Chiefs. I mean, there probably is a Chiefs equivalent.
I mean, there's a Joker on the Chiefs. His name is Frank Clark, but it has nothing to do with, you know, looking or acting like or smiling like the Joker.
Isn't I don't think Mark he's a fan favorite like that.
Mark Bo Richter.
We think Bo Richter is Joe Randa here?
I think Rando's probably a little bit more popular than Bo Richter.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Bo Richter was also, I mean, he was a below-average NFL player that played for a few years.
Is the answer Dante Hall?
Joe Randa was really good. I don't know if Joe Randa was ever as popular as Dante Hall.
I agree, but I think that's just the difference between baseball and football.
Dante Hall was on Letterman. I don't think they ever brought the Joker on Letterman.
Edwards?
Maybe Heath Ledger. Donnie Edwards, yeah, that's who he is. He's Donnie Edwards.
That's a good one. Edwards isn't good. Donnie Edwards is a good one. No, Scott Fujita. That's who Joe Randa is. Joe Randa, Scott Fujita. If we had Scott Fujita in studio, people would be excited that Scott Fujita came on the show.
What was the old special teams guy that was like,
Mike Maslowski.
Mike Maslowski. That's who he is.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by Brett Saberhagen. He was a fan favorite, and he was actually really good at baseball. He won the Cy Young. We'll do that in a little bit. But first, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Off from the beginning.
What happened to the guy that said, oh, later? What happened?
The top stories of the day, every day at 5
Ray Adams.
O'clock.
He's got to be a million years old. I think he is still around.
I'm not even trying to be funny. I don't know if Ray Adams is still alive, but you guys know, oh, later.
Ray Adams was like 80.
He was selling carpet, right?
When I first saw him, he's selling cars.
Yeah, it was Adams Toyota.
Come on, man.
Oh, my bad.
And oh, later.
You're talking about Big
Bob. He has
Bob's
one of Lee Summit now.
Oh, okay, you're right.
Big Bob's.
Big Bob's. Also an Oleta.
Oleta.
Well, the biggest news story of the day in Kansas City is that earlier today we got the alert that Adalberto Mondesi will start the season on the 10-day injured list for the Kansas City Royals. They have called up, I almost said Sammy Watkins, they have called up Nicky Lopez in a corresponding move. Hope, you've been all in on this team. How disappointing is this for your Royals expectations?
Turn my music down. Since this music is not indicative of the kind of tone we should have when talking about this. I'm mostly disappointed about this because it gives Sean Levine fuel to continue to put down Adalberto Mondesi. This is a time for unity. Haven't we had enough divisiveness in this country? We should be able to come together and unify over one thing, and that's the health of Adalberto Mondesi, and we should all wish his well-being. Just yesterday on the show, you can check the podcast page, when Sean was on his normal routine of putting Adalberto Mondesi down, I'm finding former Royals who turned it around in their career. A guy like Lorenzo Cain, a guy like Mike Moustakas, a guy like Alex Gordon. The Royals have had a track record of turning guys around. And then the very next day, Adalberto Mondesi goes on the disabled list and he's injured. And now the sports machine, Sean Levine, has more fuel to throw on the fire and fan the flames of the hatred of Adalberto Mondesi. I hope he comes back stronger and better than ever and ready to dominate this season. If anything, I'm happy that we got this injury out of the way. We knew that he wasn't going to play a full 162 with the Royals. Let's not kid ourselves here. But instead of having this injury in September when they're making a playoff push, I'd rather him go ahead and get this out of the way early when it don't really matter that much. So this might be a blessing in disguise.
I was waiting on the excuse that somehow it's a good thing that Monty's not going to be here and how it's going to work out better for him. It took you to the end of that, but you finally gave it to me. Yeah, it's a good thing that he got hurt at the beginning of the year. Now he can be there for most of the season. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know what you're talking about putting fuel on the flames or hating or any of that stuff. I told the truth and I was right.
You drive the bandwagon for
that. I told the truth and I was right. And that's what it comes down to. It's like Sammy Watkins during the football season. You can call me a hater. You can say that I don't like Sammy Watkins. You can say that if his car was broken on the side of the road, I wouldn't pull over for him. We can have that conversation. But when I say that he's overpaid, he doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, and he doesn't really do anything for this football team, call my bluff. Was I right or was I wrong? For a couple of years, we pretended like he was this possession receiver and playoff Sammy and the need to win the Super Bowl. And I said, no, you're making all that up in your head. You're trying to convince yourself of something that's not there. At some point, I think you're going to come around to Mondesi also, and I don't know what it's going to take. I told you yesterday, you were Hope Harrison. You were lying to yourself, lying to all of us, saying, huh, this is the year. He's going to stay healthy. He's going to go out there and do all these things, playing 135 games. Less than 24 hours later, less than 24 hours before the season even starts, we find out that he's got an oblique, whatever the hell that is, wherever that is on your body, and he's not going to be there at the beginning of the year. And I think that Dr. Brenton across the glass is right when he says, no inside information, but Rob predicts that this means Mondesi's out for a month. Based on his track record, if you tell me he's out for 10 days, he's out for at least a month. So I appreciate the fact that you're still optimistic, but this is not the news that we wanted to hear today.
I'm not ready to throw donuts.
It is all the news I expected to hear.
Let me give you some numbers really quickly and sort of what I'm looking
at. I can't believe Adalberto Mondesi is hurt. What's next? Michael Porter Jr. is hurt? Greg Oden's hurt? Humpty Dumpty's broken? You're kidding me.
I'm looking at the 2019 White Sox as an example. Now, I understand everybody's injury history is differently, but Eloy Jimenez, we like him, right? Good player. Maybe he's not a good example right now because he's hurt, but follow me here. Eloy Jimenez in 2019 played 122 games and got 500 plate appearances. Tim Anderson, we like him, right? Very good player. Played 123 games, had 518 plate appearances. So if you want to know from me what I now want from Adalberto Mondesi, now with this information, if he can play in at least 115 games and or give you at least 475 plate appearances, I think I'll take that from Adalberto Mondesi. He's not going to be a full 162 guy.
Your relationship with him has gotten so bad recently over the last couple of years. We've been doing these shows that, like, sounds like you're in a bad relationship with a woman. You're like, all right, baby. You can cheat on me. Just make sure you come home to me at the end of the night. Like, you keep lowering your bar for Mondesi. Now you're not even giving us numbers. He doesn't have to steal bases or hit home runs.
Well,
or,
but that's
as long as he's down on the field, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, but I mean, the plate appearances, I mean, that would be the most plate appearances he's ever had. The most plate appearances he's ever had in a season is 443 plate appearances. I mean, everybody would take the season that Eloy Jimenez has bad in 2019. Everybody would take the Tim Anderson year. Now, he obviously has to go out there and do it, but in order to have that productive season you're talking about, in order to get the 60 stolen bases, you've got to have enough plate appearances. You've got to play in enough games.
Yeah.
So if you're telling me right now, if there was we're playing the Carrington hypothetical button game, I'm pressing the button right now at 120 games. So we'll give him this month off.
Yeah, you're down 10 already.
That's missing what? Let's say he misses 20 games. That's a nice crisp number. We're at 142 games. Then there's typical off days. You sit him down. You bring him on. If he can play in 110 games this year and have a minimum of 475 plate appearances, I think that'll be a good enough sample size to what you want to see. If he gets 475 plate appearances and struggles in that plate appearances, we can't say he wasn't healthy or didn't get enough of an opportunity. You got enough of an opportunity. You just weren't productive if that's what it ends up being. But that's what I'll set the number at. He needs to have at least 475 plate appearances this year.
What makes you think he's going to do that, though? I mean, we haven't even started the season and this guy's already on the disabled list, and you're saying that there's 140 games he's got an opportunity to play. Let's just call it that he misses the first 20 of these things.
He's gonna
play in 120 of 140 of them? What track record, based on what, makes you think that that's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen.
I would say it doesn't. I would say that's what my hope would be. The same way we're saying is, I don't care about individual wins. I just want to see things. Adalberto Mondesi, what I want to see from Adalberto Mondesi is 475 plate appearances. If he doesn't give us that, I would deem this year to be disappointing.
Imagine
he
your job.
He can hit 280, but if he hits 280 in a season in which he only plays 75 games, I don't think that's very valuable for
the
Royals.
You're 5 years into your job at the same place of employment. There's a lot of people listening right now that have been working in the same place for 4 or 5 years. You haven't improved. If anything, you've probably gotten a little bit worse. And all they're telling you now is just show up. If you just show up to work, man.
I mean, I absolutely want him to be productive.
Just clock in, bro. We don't care if you make any sales. We don't care if you close any business. Just clock in. Because I think there's a lot of people listening right now that think if Mondesi's out there for 140 games, he's going to put up these huge numbers. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. If he's out there for 140 games, one, I'll be shocked. And two, there's a good chance that he hits 250 with 15 home runs or something like that. He's been a figment of our imagination for a long time, and I was going to cut him some slack because this was supposed to be the year. Until we found out a couple hours ago that he's not even going to be on the team at the beginning of the year. Once I see him out there, maybe I'll go glass half full again, but right now, all I can do with Mondesi is laugh so I don't cry.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll take a journey inside the mind of the machine. Let's head to the phone lines right now and be joined by one of the greatest players in Royals history. Brett Saberhagen joins us on the show today. Brett, appreciate you coming on today. So earlier today, we had on your fellow rotation mate, Mark Gubazon. We talked to him about coming up at a young age. You also came up at a young age. You were a star at a young age. What is that like?
Well, actually, I was 19 years old my first week in the big league. So I turned 20 April 11th. So I got a week in at 19. But yeah, you know, I was a non-roster player in spring training that year in 1984, along with Mark Gubazon. And I was on my first year in the minor leagues. I was with Fort Myers, got called up to Jacksonville after 3 months, finished off the season in Double A. Went to spring training as a non-roster player with big leaguers and just hoping to make the Triple-A team. There's a few guys that ended up having injuries at spring training, a couple pitchers, and I had a great spring. Gooby had a great spring, and they called us both in the office. Dick Houser said, "We're taking you guys north." And that was pretty awesome. That was a great feeling, and I was just hoping that he wasn't going to send me back to Double-A. And it was even better than that. So right place, right time. You know, kind of the rest is history. We kind of took advantage of our shot, and Gooby and I stayed there, the rest of the time and didn't get sent back down to the minors.
What is it like to be 19 years old and walk into that clubhouse? Because it's not like you were joining a young team that was in the process of trying to win. I mean, you joined the team in 1984. They went to the World Series in 1980. They were in the midst of their battles with the Yankees. And then in your second year, you win the World Series.
Well, like I said, Gooby and I, we were good friends. We roomed together. That made that transition a little easy for us, easier for us. That team really had a great combination of veterans, guys that had been around a long time, some guys that, you know, had 2 or 3 years in, a couple of younger guys, Gooby and I. But, you know, George was really our big guy that took us under his wing that first year, because both of us didn't have a place to stay. We stayed with him for the first month of the season, found a place down at the Plaza, Gooby and I, about a month into the season. We went down there. We made the playoffs that year in 84, and our lease expired, so we moved back in with him for the playoffs against Detroit. So he basically kind of was a big brother to us and, you know, gave us a place to stay, and I used his Bronco until my truck got there. And so he made that transition a lot easier for us as well. So we just had some good veteran leadership on that team.
You mentioned the Plaza, Brett, and obviously people around here are familiar with that area. How much did you like your stop in the Midwest in Kansas City versus some of your other stops? Because I'm kind of looking at your bio. You played in Boston. You played in New York, some of these major cities. How much did you like playing in Kansas City versus those other places?
Well, I tell you, I loved each and every spot, but to start off a career, especially at a young age, it was probably ideal for me being able to grow up in the Midwest, not five papers fighting for everything that happens. It just was a lot more laid back. Midwest was an awesome place for me to mature as a person and as a player. And then after having 8 years in going back east, and seeing the craziness of five newspapers fighting for headlines and not always wanting it to be good news. So it's a tougher place to play, especially for a younger player. And the term is very true. If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. You know, some people thrive on New York, and some people is like, yeah, I can't do it. I need to get out of here. It's just too hectic, too crazy. But the fans there are very passionate. They expect you to be upfront and honest when you make a mistake. And they expect winning teams. So it was great to play kind of all over the place. And I thought I was going to be a Royal for my whole entire career. It didn't happen that way, but I really enjoyed each spot that I was at.
The Royals have some of the best young pitching at the minor league level of any farm system right now. What advice would you have for those guys? Because it's not like there's just one or two of them trying to make a name. There's like five or six of them. So not only are they trying to make a name for themselves, but they're kind of trying to outdo each other also. What advice would you have for those young pitchers coming up right now?
Anytime that you have competition, it's great. And whether it be, you know, and we actually, in the years that I was with the Royals and Bud Black kind of being my mentor, who's now the Rockies manager, we always, and Danny Jackson on that staff, Charlie Liebrand on that staff, we had guys that would go out and throw a good game, and, you know, it was like, okay, hey, you know, they just went out through a great game. I want to do the same, or I want to do a little bit better. So we had that inner competition and, you know, wanting to keep the streak going or do a little bit better than what the guy did, you know, the previous game. So, or stop a losing streak, you know. So there's always that competition. And I think competition is great, especially for the younger players. The one thing that, I preach, and I preach to anybody that wants to listen about if they're a pitcher. First pitch strikes, work ahead in the count. You can do so much. Now, you know, nowadays it seems like it's all about velocity and numbers and analytics. And if you can throw first pitch strikes, I go strike one with whatever pitch it is, whatever my best pitch is, one I can control the best. I can do anything that next pitch. I can come inside, I can go outside, I can go up, I can go down, throw any pitch that I want to. You go ball one, it limits your stuff. You go ball two, then it's like, okay, now I got to throw a strike. And I always say walks will haunt. One of my favorite stats that I had in my career was in 1994, where I had 14 wins and 13 walks at the end of the season. So control, first pitch strikes, getting ahead of guys. Don't give up a bunch of walks. But be in and around the plate and work ahead in the count. That's the big thing that I can't stress enough to some of these younger players that want to throw the ball, 100 miles an hour and don't really care where it goes.
Right now we're talking to Brett Saberhagen, one of the best pitchers in Royals history, three-time All-Star, World Series champion, also won the Cy Young multiple times. Brett, you started opening day three times, 1988, 1990, and 1991. What are your favorite memories from opening day, and what kind of jitters do you get for starting off the season?
Well, it seemed like opening day was never one of my better games. And the only great thing about 1988 was Danny Manning and the Miracles. We went to watch KU play Oklahoma that night at Kemper Arena. And that's when I became a Jayhawk fan. I gave up a lot of home runs. It seemed like it was, I don't know if you can go through the numbers right now, but Bell, Horn, and there was somebody else. It was like all instruments. It was like they had multiple home runs, seemed like on opening day. I think Baltimore was one of them. I know Toronto was one of them. Vaguely recall one of the opening days was against Toronto. I think we ended up losing 4-3, but I gave up three home runs to George Bell, or maybe it was 5-3 or something like that. But opening day was never one of my better game performances for whatever reason. But opening day, you always look forward to getting out on the field, whether it be your first at-bat, whether it be your first inning, and just getting the season going. You wanted to get out there and have something to work on and get better, whatever it might be. But you always wanted to get your feet wet as early as possible. So my first few times, actually three times, I guess, I didn't even realize how many opening days I had, but They weren't all the best. If you can throw those numbers out there at a later date or something like that, don't be shy. It's all part of what I did.
You're one of the few players that we had on that actually was here for Bo Jackson's entire career. What was it like to go against Bo? And just every athlete that I've talked to, they just have such an incredible Bo story that just doesn't sound realistic, like a modern-day Hercules. You were around the man every day for five seasons. What was it like to play with Bo Jackson?
Best athlete I've ever seen. Best two-sport athlete by far. I know Dave Winfield could have probably gone pro in three different sports. You can say, Jim Brown, you can say Deion Sanders, you can say a lot of guys, but by far, Bo Jackson was a special human being, and his career ended much too soon. Bo and I lockered next to each other, so I would kid him all the time and give him a lot of grief. And to put it in perspective, one day I came into the clubhouse and he had his archery out with a target in the clubhouse shooting across the our locker room, and the target was one of my baseball cards. So it's like, is this like a voodoo thing, Bo? What are you trying to do? But I would get under his skin a little bit here and there, and probably. But we had a great relationship. One other story I will share with you. It was periodically somebody would have a birthday on the team, and when that birthday would happen, somebody would get a cake sent down to the clubhouse, and it was always customary for one of the rookies to get a joke played on them, a little prank. So I said, I'll do it. Bo was there. Somebody sent down a cake, and I told Bo, I said, I don't think we should eat this cake. It smells really bad. And so I got him to smell the cake, and he got his nose probably about 2 inches from the cake. I took my hand on the back of his neck and pushed as hard as I could his face down, and it never touched the cake. He just stopped me. And then he proceeded to chase me around the table, running for my life. It's probably the fastest I've ever ran. He finally stopped. I was on one side of the table. He was on the other side of the table. Without running and jumping, he just compressed and jumped right over the table and grabbed onto me. He'd be stretching on his back and he could flip himself up. I've seen it before. Not too many people can do it. But without using their hands or their legs or anything, using his back and his core strength to flip him up to his feet. Just a special human being and a great athlete.
That confirms, because I figured he was strong as Hulk, but I never heard that exact story. We're talking with Brett Saberhagen here on The Drive. C-Dot mentioned you've got not one but a couple of Cy Youngs. Where do you keep those things?
Well preserved. We can talk, and I feel very fortunate to have, won two Cy Youngs and a lot of different accolades, Gold Glove, again, no hitter. The thing that always is near and dear to me, it was we played a team sport, and winning the championship, that is always something that I will always cherish the most. And being a part of a team that can do that is you'll remember it forever and ever. And again, I could imagine being a tennis player or golfer and winning, something super special, one of the four majors or, one of the majors in tennis, that would have to be pretty special as well. But that's an individual thing. So you get that kind of knowledge that you had a great year and you've done a great job. But to win a championship, you need a full team to be competitive and go out there and perform on a great scale for a year. So that World Series championship is probably the special. It is when people ask about that. So that World Series, I've got a miniature World Series trophy. It's in our oldest son's living room. We never got the opportunity to buy the big full one, but we got the mini one.
Brett, you and your charity and foundation are doing a lot of really cool things. For people that don't know, tell people about it.
Appreciate you bringing that up. Yes, so my wife and I have created Saves Wings. We just got it up and running about 6 months ago. It is for people going through financial toxicity when they're going through cancer of some sort. My wife has had three diagnoses of breast cancer. The The third one never went away. She's had, and each one of those diagnoses, she's gone through chemo, radiation, not radiation each time, but chemo every time. And to pay for some of the treatments, families have to make a decision on whether they're going to do the treatment or they're going to pay their household bills, their mortgage, you name it. So it can be very tough going through cancer in, by itself, but having that financial toxicity is very stressful as well. So we've created Saves Wings to help those in need, and we're going to have an event. If people can go to saveswings.com. You will get more information. That is going to be updated very shortly with our board members, how they can help, how they can actually be at the event September 19th, Paso Robles, California. We're going to be giving out two financial assistance to two families, one being in Paso Robles, trying to keep it local where we live in Central Coast, California. Another one will be national, helping out two families this year, but we'll have a night of music. Singer-songwriters, friends of ours that'll be performing. We'll have Chef Roshni, who is a celebrity chef, creating and working with the local people, restaurants, and other chefs here in Paso Robles to create a great dinner menu. She'll also be doing the next day a cooking class. We'll have a golf event the next day as well. So a lot of cool things happening on September 19th and 20th. Ways to donate, ways to help, ways to be involved will be coming up on our website very soon. So we're trying to start up and make a big impact right away and help as many people as possible get through some tough times. And I think everybody that's probably listening, probably even you guys, have somebody that is, whether it's been in your family or somebody close to you, a friend that has gone through some kind of cancer, and you can see what that really does to the family. So we're trying to relieve a little of that mental stress, a little of that financial toxicity.
For more information, be sure to go to www.saveswings.com. Very happy to be joined today by Brett Saberhagen, a three-time All-Star, a World Series champion back in 1985. He also won the American League Cy Young in 1985 and 1989. Brett, it was an honor to have you on our show today. Thanks for coming on.
Guys, anytime. Let's go Royals.
Absolutely. That's one of the greatest pitchers in Royals history joining us on the show. Your 5 o'clock code word is CAKE, C-A-K-E, CAKE. Text the word CAKE, C-A-K-E, to 72881. Your National Cash Contest code word for 5:30 is CAKE. Coming up in a little bit, we'll take a journey inside the mind of the machine, and we'll continue to get you ready for opening day. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey.com app.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll take a trip inside the mind of the machine. We appreciate you keeping it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Tomorrow, opening day, you will not hear our voice. At this time, you will be hearing Denny Matthews' voice, taking you on your ride home as the Royals look to go to 1-0 and start the baseball season off right in their game tomorrow. Josh Verdner was on the midday show earlier today, Cody and Gold. He was on right when the Adalberto Mondesi news broke. Here is the true natural reaction of a professional Josh Verdner.
I literally fell to my knees. You know, I like to act like I'm not a fan and I'm impartial and I'm just hoping for a good baseball game. But boy, oh boy, talk about a punch to the onions. My word.
That's exactly how I feel. I know we've had our fun when it comes to Adalberto Mondesi, but this is not good for the Royals. This is not good for the development and growth of the team.
No, but why are you or Vern sounds very surprised? Like, fall to your knees? That would mean that inherently you didn't expect to see this coming. How did you not expect to see this coming?
I think it's just the timing of it right before the start of the season, and you've talked a lot about the importance of getting off to a really good start. It's not lost on me last season. The Royals basically had two separate years smushed into one. There was when Adalberto Mondesi was the worst everyday player in baseball. They then had a stretch where he was absolutely on fire. The team that was on, or the version of the Royals that had a hot Adalberto Mondesi was actually pretty damn good. They were really good in September. They were really good the last 6 weeks of the season. The first 6 weeks of the season when Mondesi was not a neutral player, he was a negative player, and it was borderline criminal to continue to carry his bat in the lineup every single day. The Royals got off to a typical Royal start and lost 10 of their first 13 games. So if we're talking about this team being viable, we're talking about this team being competitive and winning potentially 75 or more games this season, I just don't know if they do that if they don't get a good version of Adalberto Mondesi this year. And who knows how this injury is going to last. Maybe it is a 10-day thing. Maybe it's a 14-day thing. Maybe it's a 28, 35-day thing, and he's going to be out for the next month or maybe 6 weeks. That really hurts this team's chances of being competitive all the way through if the guy that they had pegged as their three hitter, who had a really good spring, is gonna potentially be out for almost a fifth of the season.
And on top of that, the guy that's replacing him, they told less than 3 days ago that he wasn't good enough and he had to go down to the minor leagues to start the season. I mean, not only is his bat not good enough, talk about Nicky Lopez, I don't know how high his confidence level can be right now. They literally just said, bye-bye, we don't know if we're ever going to see you again, good luck. And then they called you 2 days later and said, actually, hold on. Remember we told you a couple days ago, we didn't mean it because now we need you to go out there. So, yeah, this is absolutely a blow. I do think that Mondesi's been up and down enough in his career, whereas a Royals fan, and frankly, probably the team themselves, you don't really count on that guy. It's not like Whit Merrifield, where you know he's going to go out there and hit 300 and steal 35, 40 bases and hit you to 15 to 20 home runs. With Mondesi, you hope to get the best, but we've seen a lot of the worst, where if he's out for 10 days or a couple of weeks, this team should be able to keep their head above water.
Here's Mike Matheny. He met with the media earlier today. Here's the manager on the Adalberto Mondesi injury.
That one caught us off guard. Had no idea, didn't see a thing. And, you know, we're hypersensitive to watching just about everything. So when I got that call yesterday, obviously that that wasn't the one we were looking for. But it is what we do. We make adjustments, and it's the next man up. So we're starting that early. We were very fortunate that we had as successful of a spring as we had health-wise. But to come down to the very last game right there, that's a shame, because I hurt for Mondi. I know how hard he's worked. I know how good he looked. Just a shame. And I hurt for our guys, the fact that, you know, something thrown at us right there last minute. But besides that, here's what it is. Now what? Now what is we're going to give some opportunity to bring Nicky Lopez back. Nicky will be out there tomorrow, and he'll be playing shortstop for us. But we also know that Hanser Alberto played a very good and a strong, solid shortstop for us through the spring, and we have all the faith in the world to put him there as well. But, you know, just right now, we're hurting for Mondi more than anything else. We know that our guys will come in and do what we need to do. But hurting for him here for a little while. You know, we're told it's going to be you know, at least a couple weeks, and so somebody else has got to step up and get it done.
A major part of this, too, is just the timing of it. I mean, they've been playing spring training games for a month now. They've been down there for 6 weeks. If this had happened 3 weeks ago, I'm not saying we wouldn't have talked about it. It wouldn't have been a big deal, but just based on the timetable, we would be expecting him to come back in the first week of the season, so it'd be like a no harm, no foul. Now, potentially, you can miss one entire month of the season. So I think more than anything, the gut punch to it, to kind of quote what Vern had to say, it's just the timing of it. They are done with spring training. There was nothing else left to do for the Kansas City Royals other than get ready to play their first game on Thursday. And one of their best players, one of their most important players, is already injured.
Yeah, but don't we think that he was going to get hurt if it wasn't, you know, at the end of March, he was going to get hurt in the middle of May or beginning of April or sometime in August? Like, this guy's played parts of six seasons of Major League Baseball, and his career high games played is 102. So, again, I am glad that it's at the beginning of the season, not when the Royals are maybe overachieving and trying to make some sort of push, and then he gets hurt, which could also happen based on his track record. But it's kind of like, who's your phone company? Do you use Sprint?
Verizon.
Matheny was saying that that's not the phone call that he expected. Every month I get this text from Sprint that's like, hey, just so you know, your phone bill's past due, so you owe us some extra money. And every single month I'm surprised. I'm like, oh, really? I didn't pay it? That's on me. That should be on the manager. Like, I know that the timing is a little bit interesting that the Royals have had now 6 weeks of spring training ball. Everybody stayed healthy. And now we're less than 24 hours away from the first game. You can catch it right here on 610 Sports Radio. You're home for Kansas City Royals baseball. And we find out that the player that we've talked about the most this offseason, not named Bobby Witt Jr., isn't going to be here for a while. And you can say, yeah, it's the beginning of the season, it's only 10 days. Based on what we know about Adalberto Mondesi, couldn't you see 10 days turning into 2 weeks, turning into a month? I'm not trying to scare anybody, but it could happen.
Rob, let's take a journey inside the mind of the machine.
So we just had on Brent Saberhagen. Your all-time favorite Royals pitcher is Zach Greinke.
That is true.
Which had the better career, Brent Saberhagen or Zach Greinke? Assume that Greinke does what he's done the last few years for
Greinke's
a couple
of years. Greinke's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, Greinke is going into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. Saberhagen, fantastic pitcher. Don't get me wrong. Zach Greinke will be a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer.
I'm pulling up Saberhagen's stats. Career numbers for one Brett Saberhagen. I feel like the numbers are probably going to be a little bit more impressive for Zach Greinke. So, oh, damn, a 3.2 career ERA, two-time Cy Young Award winner, five separate times. He had a sub-3 ERA. I don't know, man. Pretty close, actually. Pretty damn close. Saberhagen did his thing, especially here at the beginning of his career in Kansas City. It was different because when Greinke started his career, he was good. The team wasn't. Saberhagen was great. Rookie of the year, Cy Young, World Series champion.
Saberhagen is a fantastic player. Zach Greinke is going to go into the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame.
What's the better first day? Is it the opening day of the baseball season, or is it the first day of school back in like middle school?
Who's picking school in this scenario?
Me.
Who's picking it in middle school? If we're talking about college, that's a different beast. Well,
why'd you go to class the first day? Syllabus day? What a tool. Everybody skips that day.
But what we're saying is,
in middle school, you're going to see the new crop of girls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we were in sixth grade.
Yeah, seventh and eighth grade too.
Yeah,
lots of changes were happening that time.
I mean, if you're telling me the first day of opening day, I'm not in school, or what's the first day of school? Then yeah, I'm picking opening day because if it's the home opener, then I'm at the game. I'm going to the game. The first day of school. Think about it. You've been staying up late all summer. This is the first time your parents are making you go to bed on time. You got to wake up super early in the morning. You got to go to school. It was cool, but it wasn't opening day. It wasn't opening day where maybe you didn't go the whole day, or you went and you got the half day. So you wasn't really paying attention for the first 3 hours anyway because you was getting out at noon. Your folks come to pick you up at noon. Maybe they take you to go get lunch and then you go to the K. Yeah, I mean, between those two, I'm picking opening day. It ain't close.
Who's my teacher? Are the homies in the class? What's my first period? When's study hall? What's that girl look like down the street? Because I haven't seen her because she was on vacation all summer. But now school's back in session. I want to see what she looks like. Give me the first day of school.
I mean, I know it's not work, but I don't know many people that would pick when you're in middle school, when you're in seventh grade, going to school kind of is your job. I definitely would never pick the work over skipping work. You know what I mean? Like, if I got those two options, I'm picking the skipping the work all the time. That homework and stuff is going to be there. You know what I mean?
I peaked in seventh grade. I couldn't wait for it. I was the man. Haven't been since, but yeah, seventh grade. Is Brad Keller a true ace, or is he just a number one for this team?
No, he's not a true ace. I mean, he's a good pitcher, but he hasn't done anything to that ace level yet. I mean, that ace level, I mean, we're talking guys who were going into the Hall of Fame. We're talking Greinke. We're talking Verlander. We're talking Scherzer. We're talking Kershaw. Like, he ain't at that level yet. He can maybe get there. Let's see how his career develops, but he ain't at that ace level yet.
Well, you can be an ace and not on your way to the Hall of Fame. Like, I understand there's a difference between being a number one like your Donovan Turow was and Gil Mesh was and James Shields was and an actual ace like Zach Greinke was, but you don't have to be on your way to Cooperstown to be considered an ace. I think, like, half the teams in baseball probably have an ace. There's at least 10 or 12 of them.
Yeah, I don't think it's that many. I don't think it's that many guys that we would, like, come out and just say – I think, like, I kind of think it's the difference between being an elite quarterback and a franchise quarterback. Like, I only think there's three franchise elite quarterbacks in the league. I think there's like nine franchise quarterbacks. Like, I would put Deshaun Watson in the franchise quarterback category. I don't think he's an elite quarterback.
Gonzaga, the line is out for their game versus UCLA. They're 14.5-point favorites. That sound about right to you?
Yeah, against UCLA. Yeah, I mean, UCLA is by far and away the worst team in the tournament. They beat everybody by double digits. There's no reason to think that they won't beat this team by double digits. And, I mean, UCLA, we think they're going to be able to score at that level. Like, there's only one team left that can score at that level, and I'm respectfully, that ain't Houston either. It's Baylor. It's the only team that has shown an ability to be able to, if they got to get in a track meet with Gonzaga, they can get into a track meet. UCLA. Incredible run, improbable run. Not many people I heard pick UCLA. A lot of people picked them to lose in the first round. I like Michigan State to be a team to make a run. But, yeah, they ain't scored enough to keep up with the Bulldogs.
That's what's crazy is they've already played an extra game to get here. You know the only other team that played in the first four and the final four?
VCU.
I don't know why I mentioned that, but, yes, you are correct. Is Gonzaga the best program in college basketball today? Obviously, they're the best team, but are they the best program going right now?
I still think that it's Duke. I would still have Duke 1. I'm not sure if I would have Gonzaga in the top 5, honestly. I would still put all of those blue blood programs ahead of them, and I'd probably put Villanova ahead of them as well.
Nova, maybe. The thing about those blue bloods are they were so down this year, and Gonzaga hasn't been down. I mean, when you talk about consistency, KU's made the tournament for 34, 35 straight years, and then it's Gonzaga who's made it for, it was like 27 or 28 seasons, so at some point, we're going to have to call them what they are, which is a blue blood basketball program. I think that's going to be next week when they win the national championship.
I think you and I are different on blue blood. Like, I think blue blood is like more based in tradition instead of kind of more recency. Like, I would consider Gonzaga to be an elite program.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they've really made the tournament every year in the last 25 years. You can't say that about Kentucky. You can't say that about Carolina. You can't say that about Duke.
They're certainly an elite team. I just would say the blue blood, it's just based in, I would say, like, generations of tradition. Like, Kansas has been great at college basketball for, it feels like, 100 years at this point. Duke's a little different. They don't have the same track record of a UCLA or a Duke or a Kansas or a Kentucky. But, I mean, what Duke has accomplished since 1990 is as good as any run outside of John Wooden's teams.
Let's do some celebrity birthdays. How old is John Bon Jovi?
67.
$1.
What's his big? Is he one halfway there?
Yes, that is his song.
I was waiting for you to cut me off. He's 60.
$1. $1 wins.
How old is Ben Roethlisberger today, guys?
All right, let's do the math. Here we go. He was in that 04 draft with Eli. He was probably came out of Miami, Ohio. There's no way he came out early. So 22. 22, that gets him 17. I'm going to say he's 39 today.
That's exactly what I was going to guess is 39.
Give me a 38 or a 40 then.
38.
He's 40, sorry. Congratulations, Rob. You win nothing. How old is Method Man? M-E-T-H-O-D.
How he's got to use Jay-Z as the barometer? 53.
I actually was thinking 54, so I'll say 54.
Meth's 51.
Mm.
What happened to Method Man? He's still doing his thing? That was a Red Man.
They just did a Versus like 3 weeks ago.
Did they?
They did. Together, actually.
You don't say. Who was the better fielder? Was it Frank White or was it Alex Gordon?
Method Man actually rapped recently. He's in a song with this group called Griselda, but they got a song together.
The question was, who was the better fielder? Was it Frank White or was it Alex Gordon?
Frank White. I think you could make a case that Frank White's probably the second best defensive infielder this side of Ozzie Guillen. I mean, there's maybe a couple other guys.
Ozzie Smith?
Yeah, Ozzie Smith, my bad. Ozzie Smith, I mean, you could probably say that he's second behind him. I mean, maybe you argue Omar Vizquel. Maybe there's some older player. I'm just not thinking off the top of my head. But, I mean, you could make that case pretty easily, I think, for Frank White.
Besides Ozzie Guillen, Ozzie Smith, and Ozzie Osbourne, can you name an Ozzie?
No.
Neither can I.
Ozzie Hoffler. He's going to be a freshman at K-State this year. He's a four-star recruit from Georgia.
What's his first name?
Ozzie. That was the name of the game. Ozzie.
I thought you said Ozzie.
That's his last name. Hoffler. Ozzie Hoffler.
Ozzie Hoffler?
He's going to be a D-end at K-State.
That's a sick name. Not as sick as Dikembe Mutombo Mupombo Jean-Jacques Wabutombo, but I like the name. That's all I got.
Tomorrow, we are off because of opening day. Friday, we will be back because the Royals don't have a game. Enjoy opening day. We'll catch you on Friday. Thanks so much for listening to The Drive. If you missed anything today, check out the podcast page.